At this time, Mr. Persis, would you please do doing the Pledge of Allegiance?
For which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice for all.
Thank you, person. Welcome, everyone, as we embark on a new Volusia County. We're trying something new. So our listening audience, please be patient with us. We are conducting our own form of as we step into the online, like online education, for joining us today. I would like to introduce my colleagues that are on the call with me. I have Mr. Carl representing District 4, Ruben Colon representing District 5, our school board attorney, Doran, city clerk, Mrs. Erin Lieben, representing District 1, I have Mrs. Linda Cunningham, Chairman, 3, our Superintendent of the County Schools, Dr. I am Ida Wright, Chairman, representing District. Items for approval on this agenda are items 2.02 and 4.02. Public participation, due to the nature and length of this meeting, only one participation place. If you would like to speak, please dial area code 6734790 extension 236. Again, the number is area code 386734790 extension 20236 when prompted. Moving to items 2.01, agenda changes. Superintendent, anyone requested anything to change to today's agenda?
No agenda changes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda as printed, and then I'll go around and just poll my colleagues. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Ruben Colon.
Second, Carl Persis.
Thank you. The motion was approved. The motion was made by Mr. Colon, approved by Mr. Persis. Calling for the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Ms. Haynes.
Aye.
And Ms. Cuthbert.
Aye.
Motion has been properly moved, has been unanimously approved. Do we have anyone on for public participation? I do see I have two. At this time, I will bring in Mrs. Mary Warnoff. Mrs. Warnoff? Mrs. Warnoff?
Yes.
Hi, Mrs. Warnoff. This is Ida Wright. Thank you for joining the meeting. You'll have 3 minutes to speak to the board. And your 3 minutes begin now. Thank you.
Welcome. We're in brand new territory, and this I understand. But I am a 12-month support employee. Most recently, you know, I'm over 65, so I was at home for 2 weeks. I'm working things that I can do on the computer. But how is this going to relate to even our 10 or 11-month employees? When it comes to now they're not working, come in, will they bring to the summer? are they going to get paid during the summer, or are they receiving their paychecks now? Those questions are coming into me on the view support for this unit. And, you know, with when will we know? So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will be addressing that issue. Martiz, thank you. I have a Martiz Cabeza.
Hello.
Martiz Cabeza.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. This is Ida Wright. Thank you for joining us. You have 3 minutes to speak, and your 3 minutes start now.
Hi, school board members. This is Matias Cabeza at Seabreeze High School. Some of my friends and I were discussing our concerns about online learning, and I wanted to comment to share some of those issues and some of the possible solutions we came to. At the moment, I've only been contacted by 3 of my 7 teachers, and the plan the district made provides some insight into what I should be doing, but we feel like there's not much clarity in what we should be doing during the school closure. And I think the district should ask the teachers to contact the classes to provide more details doing. It would relieve a lot of the stress. And if the school closure is extended to the end of the year, which I know hasn't happened yet, but I fear may happen, we think that the fourth quarter should be weighted less in our final grade average than the 3 previous. Some of us may not be accustomed to online learning, and academic dishonesty will run rampant in the new system, which gives the fourth quarter less value and in its weight on our final grade average. Even if to the end of the year, we should ask teachers to hold off on giving summatives until we could take them in person to help prevent cheating. And due to the cancellation of state assessments, the school board is going to have to revamp the grading formula for courses with an EOC, 100% of the final grade anyways. So editing out the fourth quarter wouldn't be a major inconvenience, so she'll be editing the final grade formula anyways. Thank you.
Thank you, and we value your comment and a great recommendation. We are taking notes, and thank you for your input.
No problem. Bye.
Any other callers? Ms. Valerie Jessup. Mrs. on with Ida Wright. Mrs. Jessup. Ms. Jessup? So what we can do, we'll come back so that we can bring Ms. Jessup in. Is that okay, colleagues?
I agree.
Thank you.
So item 4.01, removal of items from the consent agenda. Superintendent Fritz, did anyone request an item be removed from the consent agenda?
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Entertain a motion to accept the agenda to approve the consent agenda.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I move that we accept the consent agenda.
Thank you.
I second that, Madam Chair. Carl Persis.
Thank you. The motion was made by Mrs. Linda Cuthbert, second by Mr. Carl Persis. Any discussion? Hearing none. Mr. Persis?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cuthbert? Ms. Haynes?
Aye.
Thank you. The motion has been properly moved and lowered. Forgive me. Unanimous vote. Thank you all for approving the consent agenda. Moving down to item 5.01. I'm sorry, item 3.13. District update, Dr. Fritz.
Ms. Liebert, if you could.
Did she come through?
Ms. Liebert?
Dr. Fritz, I'm pulling it up now.
Okay, thank you.
While she's pulling it up, we have Ms. Jessup on the line. Hi, Mrs. Jessup. This is Ida Wright calling in.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I'm going to mute this because I can hear on my computer as well. So I have a couple of questions that I've been getting other people at my class, at my school. I work with pre-K, and we were wondering if we could get some clarification on what is expected of us, and especially the paras. The paras have not received any as to what is expected of them during all of this. It's we're trying to figure out where our places and all of it. Thing that we could possibly get some answers before school starts the 30th with everybody.
Thank you for your comment. We will be addressing all of your issues. That is not part of Dr. Fritz's comment. Thank you. And we're going to work through this and get you all the answers you need.
We appreciate what you guys have been doing for us, and we hope that everyone can get through this together and make education at this point as best as it can be during
Thank
this
you.
Time.
Thank you. And we are. We're going to get through it together. Thank you. Dr. Fritz?
Thank you, Ms. Wright. We are in unprecedented times in the field of education and in our country. Aaron, if you go ahead one slide. So on March 13th, Governor DeSantos executive order 2083, and this order extended spring breaks to March 29th, that school districts create an instructional continuity plan. Because of the COVID-19, directions were that school districts were to plan to continue. Yes. So school districts were instructed to have an instructional continuity plan, which meant a plan to continue the education for all of our students because they would be permitted to be on the brick and mortar school. And so with that, there were some other stipulations. Schools and districts were not to be graded. Say testing and the EOCs were not to happen this school year. Other organizations such as International Baccalaureate Testing, that was something that's been suspended, as well as our ACE testing by those organizations. College Board has come along with a online advanced placement testing that our students can take from a computer at home. The federal and state governments deemed that several areas would be subject to FEMA reimbursement. And DOE did come along and give school districts flexibility with some of our funding so that we could purchase more technology if we need to provide so for our students. Aaron, slide two. So a little bit about our instructional continuity plan. This actually does begin on Monday, And it really is for VBK to grade two. And it is all areas. It's our core classes, our non-cores, our electives. That includes acceleration offerings such as CTE, Advanced Placement, ACE, IB, as well as ESOL and EOL. And we have been busy training staff on an online module for the last 2 days, Thursday and Friday of this week. And so when we look at our plan, several things with our ESE and EOL students. We are looking at using Teams, which is how we're conducting this meeting today, so that several of our staff members that are in the area of ESE can actually provide services for our students. For some reason, that's impossible because it's somebody doesn't have connectability. Then we will do what's right for these students when we get back into the brick and mortar to certainly make up for those services. And we are staying in close contact with DOE to make sure that we provide the right services for our students. The area of ESOL, in our content areas, we have loaded up our plan with resources for our students, including multilingual glossaries, digital resources for translation. We have all multiple languages. We've been meeting and holding these meetings with DOE on a regular basis. We've been collaborating with the Central Florida School Board Coalition. Our administrators and assistant principals and principals have been working to ensure that this rollout is as smooth as possible. I truly expect that we will have some problems. As I said, we've never done anything like this. This is the first time that we're going through a process, but I will say this, we will be a stronger school district for having gone through this. I do believe that as awful as this pandemic is, it will certainly change education forever. Aaron? Next slide. So a little bit about our HR. I will share with you that we have agreements with both of our unions right now. The team are clearly writing expectations for our employees so they know what to expect. The good news is the governor has funded our through June 30th. All of our employees paid. We are definitely holding and expectations provided by CDC. We want to keep our students health, our staff healthy. As you know, the governor recommended any person of 60 older or having significant health issues to self-isolate for 14 days. The agreement that we've reached for March 30th will require all employees to work remotely and continue their job responsibilities. We sent memos out today to work with classified folks so that phone lines can be routed through Teams so that the personal information is protected, but that departments in school lines can be answered when parents call and when the community calls. School-based and district administration will work rotation schedule. That'll be established by each supervisor. And school and district offices will post a contact number on the main entrance of the building so that when families need to get assistance, they can call. Next, Aaron. We've been doing a lot with our operations. We've been working with ABM. We've been doing a lot of e-misting, which is cleaning and fogging of our facilities and our buses. This deep cleaning will actually continue all the way through April 15th. We've also started feeding at 28 sites this last week. Very excited that as we go into next be feeding with the sites that we'll also be having our bus drivers and our cafeteria workers come together to help feed our children in hub stops located all the way around the county. And I'm pleased to say that we certainly have sites in every municipality in our county. Next, Aaron. So this week, we deployed iPads, and we deployed over 5,000 at 45 schools. And I will tell you that the team in our elementary schools, my pride was just at an all-time zenith for our principals, their teachers, and the staff. Got to go around and watch them. They had smiles on their faces when they were handing out iPads. They were happy to see the kids. Many of us have received invitations to honking parades so that the neighborhoods with the kids. The teachers really, really miss their children. And so this was an opportunity for us to hand out iPads for our our students, and we did that in our K-5. Our secondary students, those students that need it, will be able to get a laptop. I'll tell you why those aren't ready yet, because all of our laptops in our secondary schools were being geared up for the FSA testing. So now we have to go back, since those testings won't happen, and be able to configure those same laptops for student use. With technology, we got ahead of this. A couple of weeks ago, we did a technology survey, and one of the things that we found out was about 10% of our do not have technology at home. And so that was why we went into this massive deployment of our own technology to help out our students. And so, as I said, mentioned earlier, we've done over 5,000 iPads at the K-5. We're going to do an additional round. Some of the things that we're going to do is actually go, we can accommodate more elementary schools than just one, so that we can make sure that our students have what it is they need. And then for those students that chose not to have a iPad or did not have connectability at home, we did have printed packets. And so we printed those packets. We're going to continue to have those for families if they need them. But this whole instructional continuity plan is a 10-day plan, and it really focuses in on those areas of instruction for the next 10 days. One of the things that we're going to be doing, and we'll make sure that it's all over the website, but we're going to have customer support. Whether it's a family member that's trying to log in to the instructional continuity plan, or it's a teacher that needs assistance, we're going to have a helpline set up here at the district office that we will make sure that we're everywhere over this weekend. So assistance that we will be able to provide that to them. Aaron? I'm very, very proud of Schultz and all the efforts that she's and her team to update the community. We have been doing daily with our family and our we have done school site visits. We've actually had our webpage dedicated to the coronavirus situation. We've had a Q&A for all our family. Every time we get questions, we go through and our team answers those and puts that on our main webpage. To gather those questions, we've had three principal meetings in the last 5 days with all of our principals, and so that we could hear their concerns, hear their questions back to them. We've done press releases individually as a school district, but also with our elected officials throughout the county. We've done social media alerts, and we've done some how-to videos. I'm very proud of our Teacher of the Year, Josie Stomp, did a how-to video for not only families but our instructional staff on how to use the ICP. And extremely grateful for a partnership that we have with Advent Health that provides free e-care for our students. I'm going to tell you that we had 340 licenses and they were being used, and Advent Health made a 1,500. So we're in a partnership. Aaron? So I wanted to talk a little bit about the funding. I talked to you earlier about how the governor allowed us to make sure that we were able to be flexible with some of those funds. There are funds that we have by the federal government, Title I, II, and IV, that have been earmarked for other areas. But we didn't know this virus was going to hit. So in a partnership with the state, there's been permission given to take some of these funds and give superintendents and school boards the power to reallocate those funds for digital classroom needs. And so as we go through and we start analyzing where our needs are, that's exactly what we'll do as a school district. Sarah? I know that there'll be questions from the board. I do have Mr. West, our chief of HR, online with us. I also have Dr. B, and I have Patty Kaur as well, who's doing a lot of the work regarding grading. And but we stand ready to answer any questions that you have, and if we don't have the answers, we will be working on them.
Thank you, Dr. Fritz. I'll start with you, Mr. Cologne.
Oh, okay. Around the plan of delivering the meals to hub stops, we started off with a first subset of schools some of which didn't include some of our neighborhood schools, for example, Friendship, that only has one bus that goes to it. Can you expand a little bit on what the plan is for that and what the proposed timeline would be to get that rolled out so that we could feed our kids?
Yeah, and I can have Mr. Aiken chime in too, but I'll give at least an introductory before we get going on that. We did have drivers volunteer to do this. So hubs are actually being established. It takes 2 days to establish a hub to get approval through the Department of Agriculture. I think we have 21 hub stops ready to roll for Monday. Drivers, as of today, agree to drive those additional hubs next week. So we'll be adding stops along the way. Mr. Aiken, is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
No, sir. I think you kind of covered that. We're trying to cover all of the geographical areas, and we'll be updating our list as the need arises starting next Monday.
So is there an option, for example, again, I go back to Friendship because it's one of my few neighborhood schools, maybe Friendship Discovery, where they can set up a certain time frame where families can actually come up to the school, seeing as the majority of the kids live in the neighborhood? Is that an option?
Yeah, we can explore that next week. We'll see how many families are actually needing that. Right now, we established the geographical locations, and we have another site that would be able to feed 200 in that area right now. So they can go to the depot stop, which may be closer for them if they're riders, and it's still in the walk zone as well, to be able to accommodate those families. And we'll reevaluate that next week. If the need is greater for one particular school, we'll try to get that up and running as well.
I guess that's really my own. I mean, you know, I appreciate all the work everyone has done. As I've said to Dr. Fritz, you know, this is way out of my wheelhouse. So I have been very trusting of everything. And by the feedback from the community and our parents, you know, I want to thank you all for all the work you've done, because overall it's been, very positive. Our teachers have been very positive and willing. And again, thank you guys. But, you know, I'm still very, very hung up on being able to feed kids, because like I said, you know, you may have, I'll give you an example to Friendship. You know, Pride is maybe 2 miles away, but the difference in the neighborhood between Pride and what they would have to do to get there from Friendship, even though it's between the 2 miles, you have El Cam Boulevard there. Plus, it's, you know, the way Pride sits is off of Howland Boulevard, so it's the only way to get to it. You know, it may be geographically okay, but it's not feasible. And so I guess if in the world of rainbows and unicorns, you know, I wish, you know, that those cafeteria workers could set that set of time, you know, of course, with the proper social distancing, where the kids can actually come to school and pick up the meal. It's right up the street from their house versus, I think we would definitely be able to serve more kids. I have members of my own community reach out, and all I tell them is, you know, we're working on it and we're working on it. So I'd really like to see that come to fruition if possible. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. This is Greg again. By federal regulations, if a school is within 2 miles of another school, we're not authorized to open both schools up. So we took a hard look at that currently now, and there's a list of schools that we can't open because we have another one open. But we will have an area set up for them to come over and get their food.
I think that, this is Dr. Fritz again, I think that's the power of these drivers willing to go above and beyond. I think that's going to open up our possibilities for where we can go out and meet where the need is. So I'm very excited about that. I think it's really creative, and we're actually going to ask them as well. That's one of the that I think is important, and was actually suggested by Ms. Wright today. And I think that's a powerful suggestion, that we're going to ask our folks how they think that we can actually serve our students and make sure that we're providing for their health needs.
Awesome. Thank you.
Alone?
I am good.
Okay. Mr. Persis?
Thank you, Chairman Wright. I too want to commend the superintendent, certainly for the phenomenal job I believe that you have done in informed, keeping the community at large informed about what we are doing as a school district, keeping all of our employees informed, principals, teachers, you know, with 7,500 employees. I think you've just done a fantastic job, and I commend you and your entire leadership team there for the great job that you all are doing. There are a few questions that people are asking, and problem is that we don't have answers to them yet because this thing is forever changing. My understanding, Dr. Fritz, and I'd like for you to comment, is that from the national level down to the state level, that decisions are going to be made approximately every 14 and 15 days. So President Trump had the 15 days to kind of catch up, slow down. That expires, I think, March 31st. Are you anticipating new information coming out on March 31st?
I am definitely anticipating new information next week. I've been in regular communication with Chancellor Oliva, and as recently as today, he did say that we would have some updates next week. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but DOE have been scheduling regular calls, just like FSBA. We've been getting a regular call every day around 4 o'clock from one of those organizations. And so I anticipate us getting some more and more information as we approach that April 15th date, but definitely next week.
Great. One of the questions that's asked, you know, are we going to have high school graduations?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, that's near and dear to my heart. Former high school principal, Kelly's actually has a Teams meeting set up next week with our SGA presidents because I want to hear from the kids. I'm going to tell you my thoughts on this. I think we have to be a district that obviously we're going to follow the government orders and the directions, but I think we have to think out of the box. I think when I meet with the kids, I want to talk to them. At some point, we're going to turn to a sense of normalcy. And when we do that, I think that, you know, the graduation is a ceremony. It doesn't dictate the actual earning of a diploma. So we can do ceremonies at different times. We've already this year added a summer graduation ceremony for those students that were not going to graduate in May because of credits or GPA. I think there's things as a school district we can do to still honor those ceremonies. You know, there's no reason why a prom can't happen in July. And so I think working with the kids next week, I'm excited to hear their opportunities. But I think as leaders and educators, everything in our power to make sure those experiences that we all had that were so memorable to us, that we find a way to provide those opportunities for our kids.
Glad to hear that. Dr. Fritz, you heard the comment during the public participation time from the student, I believe, from Seabreeze High School concerning his thoughts about the final quarter, grade point averages, how that all blends together, the ramifications or possible consequences for some of that. I understand that the governor has waived many things. Can you elaborate on that or perhaps address his concerns? Thank you.
Sure. The 30% end of course will no longer happen for those areas such as biology, algebra. And so those will not be a factor. It'll be truly a student's grades. But I'll tell you that the student gave a great question, one that I'm going to relay to DOE and follow up on. It's about the weighting. You know, if we're already going to relinquish some standardized assessments that were requirements, do we have the ability to change the weighting? And I thought that was a good question. So I don't know how to answer that yet. I'm going to have to get some guidance, but I certainly like the question.
as you know, as a former high school principal, and I know Miss Cuthbert knows, there's about at least 5 or 10 students at every high school that are, you know, trying to be the valedictorian and summa and so forth and so on. And so these grade point averages mean a lot to these students who have worked so hard for so long. And they certainly want to make sure that their efforts are going to be rewarded at the end of the year.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Finally, I just want to commend all the people too that are out there serving these meals. And I know we've had you know, a great signs of appreciation from parents. I know all of us have received those. Parents very, very grateful that the schools are doing what they can to help out. So to all of those that are out there, thank you very much. That's all I have, Ms. Wright.
Thank you, Mr. Persis. Ms. Haynes?
Good afternoon, Ms. Wright. So I'd like to first piggyback off of thanking everyone. I have been out this week and seen all the wonderful hard work that has gone into feeding our students. And I have personally visited some of the Schoolway Cafe teams that are out there. And these people are working really hard and they're excited to see kids and be able to give them meals. I also want to say a big thank you to the Title I tech team, along with the technology department, all of the teachers, media specialists, and administrators and volunteers that came out to get technology and curriculum packets out into the hands of our students. I know they're still out there today till 6 p.m., but I'd like to also talk about the meals. Yes, we're, you know, hitting a portion of our students, but even as we're here today on this meeting, I'm receiving messages from individuals that are sharing with me how there are still families that cannot, you know, get out to get the meals. They don't have transportation and, you know, they possibly have 4 or 5 children. So what I'd like to see, if possible, is I'd like to see the rules and guidance that are provided for what we can and cannot do in serving meals. That was a new piece that I heard earlier from Mr. Aiken about a 2-mile zone between sites, because I believe during the summertime, sometimes we have opened up or served at sites in a 2-mile radius when we've been serving at elementary, middle, and high. So, Dr. Fritz, if possible, I would like to see what the rules and regulations are at this time that the Commissioner of Agriculture has released so that we can get the largest number of children fed. And I'm looking forward to seeing what this hub plan is. And I would appreciate it if it could be shared with board members before it's released, and we have a time period in which to provide some input on that, since we are the people that are most familiar with our district areas and from our community members and families.
Yes, we can certainly provide the documentation from the Department of Ag to you for sure. I believe we have the first round of hub sites. At least I saw some addresses, so I think that would be easy for us to send to the board and get your insight, which I'm excited about, is because more and more drivers have signed up. As I said earlier, I think we're going to be able to add more and more sites.
And I'd like to give a thank you to those drivers, just as well as the Schoolway Cafe workers, for seeing the importance of feeding our children, because I feel that that's the first thing that we need to do. So thank you out there to all the bus drivers that are listening, and a special thank you to all the Schoolway Cafe.
This is Greg. I also, we're working with Food Brings Hope. They have their list that they're providing for families as well. And Second Harvest, I just sent that, and hopefully we can get that posted for families to go out to those sites as well that they have identified to get additional food.
Thank you, Mr. Aiken, because it's already been shared with me this week where administrators and teachers have actually gone out and purchased groceries and delivered them into the homes of some of their students. And even though I think that's fabulous and I appreciate them doing that because they saw the need, I believe this is the need that we should be covering. Mrs. Wright, I have nothing further at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. Mrs. Cuthbert?
Good afternoon, Chairman Wright and fellow board members, Dr. Fritz and staff. I too have been out a little bit. I have to make sure I keep my distance. I am over 65 and have underlying conditions, so I just want to make sure I am practicing good safety procedures. I drove by Indian River earlier in the week, and they were having a blast on the side of the school, not only meeting the students, but also meeting parents. I stopped by Chisholm Elementary today. The parking lot was deserted, but there was a huge line of parents. It seems as though Chisholm was quite slammed with parents today. The Schoolway Cafe worked diligently, quietly. The manager, Vanessa, who's manager at Chisholm as well as Coronado, was fabulous in her courtesy and her professionalism. Everyone was fed. I did talk to a parent who asked, if we're out of the district, we're, you know, District 3, which is Southeast Volusia, can she still find food? And I said, absolutely. And she said that Spruce Creek Elementary and Port Orange Elementary were completely out of food. And she had come down to Chisholm to see if she could have food today. I think it's marvelous that we are accommodating all kinds of needs for our parents and families. So I commend, you know, the parents, everyone in that long line was so very patient, cheerful. The children are just adorable. And it's so nice to see the whole package being, you know, driving up to our schools. As I was leaving Chisholm, the parking lot became slammed with staff. And I realized they were coming back from their parade. The light, and I know children just had a great time seeing their teachers and staff, administrators go through the neighborhoods, but the delight in the teachers' eyes that I saw as they were getting out of the cars, it was a dual purpose. All the community, the school community, and the community itself where the students live all had a great, great time. And I know Indian River had one earlier this week. I believe it was yesterday. So kudos to our elementary staffs who go out into our community neighborhoods. I just also want the instructional continuity plan. If students have questions from their teachers about what's coming up in the next couple of weeks, how is it? I mean, they probably know, but I don't. And for the public who are listening, how is it that the students keep in contact with their teachers? How do they get clarification for instruction?
So I'll start, but I'll ask Dr. B. And I do have to get here. Dr. B has really led the work with the instructional continuity plan, she and her team. And that goes all the way down. So I'm going to share with you a little bit, but I'm going to ask Dr. Bagba on in there. Teachers are going to notice when kids are signing into either Canvas or Ingenuity. And so, you know, they're working remotely. So our teachers will be working for residents. And so they will notice which kids are signing in and which ones are not. The ones that are not, working to have them check with their students, see if they're doing a printed packet, communicate with those kids as they're going through their work. The beauty of the digital piece of instruction, our Volusia online teachers do that daily. We're not asking our teachers to do that daily during this phase because going forward, this continuity plan is a 10-day plan. But there is an expectation that they're monitoring the progress that their students are making. And Dr. Balgobin, if you'd like to add a little more, please feel free to jump in.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Fritz. Good afternoon, Chairman Wright, board members. Good afternoon. Ms. Cuthbert, as Dr. Fritz shared, he's absolutely right. Our teachers and our school-based staff has received training this week, Thursday and today. The training is on demand. And one of the platform, not one of the platform, but one of the areas in which every single teacher is being trained on, it's called Teams, and it's part of the Canvas platform and also Edgenuity. And with the Teams platform, it's precisely just for that, for communicating with students. So as I explained, all of our students have been rostered into Canvas and Edgenuity. And also we have set up homeroom classes. So the teachers will be able to see their students on a daily basis and who is doing what, but also they are asked to go into Teams on a daily basis and check in with those students who are not actively engaged in the online platform, because those are the students that are more than likely are completing the packets. And also any other student that they may want to establish, that's part of the understanding is that teachers will be monitoring the academic engagement of their students and progress monitoring. And there's also a log that they will be completing as they contact their students and whatever they're asking students to do so that they can check back with those students again. So they are recording a log that's embedded in Teams, and that's a training that they've experienced or they are experiencing today and many yesterday.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Balgobin, do teachers have other options open to them for instruction during this time, or is it that something that's going to be in the future?
So the two options that we have right now, Ms. Cuthbert, is the online platform, which is through Canvas or Edgenuity. Canvas is for the elementary and Edgenuity is for secondary teachers. And it's not an option, but it's students, which are the packets. But again, with the packets, teachers will have the opportunity to contact those students through Teams and assist them as needed. But those are the two platforms we have now. Moving forward, we're looking into almost doing it like a Volusia online for all of our students. And we're working as it relates to getting all of the technology that we would need for our students and making sure that they have the proper training. So that's part two of our plan if we have to go beyond the 15th. And from what we can tell as of now, it seems like it's a strong probability. And our teams are already working on that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ms. Cuthbert.
Thank you. As the curriculum proceeds and as we go further into April and May, I know so much of this is still up in the air because we have not from the Department of Education. So our teachers then will be contacting their own administrative staff for direct.
So we will have a communication plan. We will have a training plan as we have for this first 15 days. If we have to go beyond the 15 days, which is what we're preparing for, we would have a clear communication what that training would look like for our for all of our staff.
Okay, thank you very much. It's always helpful to know. And I also want, you know, our public and our communities to understand that there's an awful lot of rumor and misinformation out there. There's a lot of things posted online, but what I think people need attention to is our school district website and the press releases, because that's where the direction, the clear direction, is going to come from. And also what people have to realize is our district and our teachers, many of them are doing this for the very first time. Mm-hmm. Usually when the school district puts out a new program, there's usually a pilot program. It's vetted, and then we add different schools to it. But this time, we have no time, nor have we been given the opportunity to vet our programs and even to have a pilot. We're going live right away. We really appreciate the patience and the understanding from our students, and to please let us know when things are, I guess, or we have left something out. It's very important feedback. Now, will we have a special place for this feedback? As the public encounters, as families encounter, where do families go to for this information? I heard Dr. Fritz talk about a phone number. Is that for the general public? Is that for parents trying to help their children? How do we give feedback to the school district or to teachers that maybe something isn't going right? I don't understand this direction. What about this other piece of curriculum? How do we have that feedback planned?
Would you like for me to answer that, Dr. Fritz?
Yes, please. Go ahead, Dr. Baldwin.
Okay. So that's a very good question, Ms. Cuthbert. We have several mediums in which we're providing feedback. One of the actions that we're taking on a daily basis, Ms. Cuthbert, is that we have teams set up for elementary, middle, and high. So in the teams that are set up for elementary, middle, and high, our assistants are checking in with their principals on a daily basis for any questions that maybe has been posted from support staff or staff member, and we're answering those through Teams on a daily basis. And it's set up for elementary, middle, and high. We also have the hotline number, but it's basic that hotline number that's being set up. We are going to have a rotational model where curriculum department as it pertains to the online open. We also have another platform in Teams that is set up for anyone that may have a question and they don't want to call in, but they want to just type their question, and that's being answered by our folks also on a daily basis. And those are just some of the mediums that we have, but pretty much there's ongoing communication taking place on a daily basis so that we can provide some clarity to the work. Because as you stated, we are building and flying at the same time, and it's imperative that we keep that communication line open and information up front for teachers and our staff on a daily basis. So those are just a few. The Teams platform, the 800, not the 800 number, but the hotline number that we're establishing with curriculum folks answering those questions, and also another platform through Teams where they can ask their questions by typing it up and they'll get an answer within that day. And that's for teachers and parents and staff.
Thank you very much. Are you going to put that explanation on our website so people who are not listening in can at least check the website for that information?
We plan on doing that. Today, Mr. Clint is working on the hotline number, and as soon as we have that set up, that communication that is even sent out.
That's wonderful. Very much. I know this was definitely a crash course for new people to our county, but you have many people across the state and across the nation who are in the same boat. So thank you very much. I appreciate all that you've done. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cuthbert. I think most of you have asked the questions I would have asked. But I just want to take a time and just to say thank you to my colleagues. Thank you to Dr. Fritz. Thank you to our school board attorney, all of the cabinet, and all of our listeners. This is very, and I don't want to say challenging, it's different. And we're entering a different paradigm. COVID-19 is a bad problem that we have. But it has allowed us to think creatively, think outside of the box, and to be able to react quickly. And for that, I do want to tell each of you, thank you. I know most of you did not have a spring break, so you are joining myself and Mr. Akins, because during my spring break, this started for us that Monday, like the 13th or the 9th during Bike Week of March. So it is a lot of work. And it's not just K-12, higher ed. Everyone is adjusting to norm of doing things virtually, even the banks. So I want everybody just to take a deep breath, just do a big sigh of relief. We will get through this together. It is not easy, but through all of the pain, we will see some good product out of this. And our students especially, as they move into a real digital world, because 10 or 20 years from now, they're going to look back at this moment to see how they shaped, or COVID-19 shaped the future and what their future jobs will look like. And so with that, our plates are full, but they're all of you have done a wonderful job, from our teachers to our Schoolway Cafe, to our bus drivers, to our maintenance. There are a lot of uncertainties. We will not have all of the answers. Unfortunately, we don't make all of the decisions that are being made. Our directives do come from not just the Board of Education, but that of the governor. He supersedes that even of the Board of Education for the state of Florida. So if everyone, please look at our website, and we will do, I just want the public to know, we will do our best to make sure that we're communicating, if not daily, at least twice a week, to make sure that you're informed, you understand, but it is fluid. Every day we wake up to something totally different. And there are things that superintendent or Mr. Akins or myself or his cabinet may know, because we are told one thing at 6 o'clock in the evening, and by 7 o'clock the next morning, it has totally changed, or they have adjustment. So thank you for being patient with us. We are navigating this process with you. And the best thing I could tell our students, we're all learning. That is why it is called lifelong learning. We are learning, just like our students, how to deal in a new environment or in the digital world. I don't have any questions for you, Superintendent Fritz. I do have one comment to Dr. Carmen and her group. I'm going to say the same thing I said to Mr. Akins about his that as we walk through this the next 2 weeks, make sure that we're receiving feedback from those that are actually doing the work, because they will provide us some insight that at we're looking at a 30,000 degree level. They're looking at a 10,000 degree level or a 5,000. We really need to know what they see. So make sure that we are incorporating their recommendations and their suggestions as we move forward. They will be able to tell us some things that either we didn't think about, like the student who gave the call earlier today, or make us rethink or readjust what we're planning, because they can see some of the issues that we're facing. So make sure that you are really evolving your team at the lowest level, because I guarantee you, you'll learn something new and some invaluable recommendations from them. There's only one part, and I have had a conversation with Dr. Fritz. We want to make parents aware. We do know that in certain cities and certain locations, because students are bused a rather long distance from their home, we will be addressing how we're going to get the materials to those students. And so Dr. Fritz will be communicating, or Dr. Bagelman will be communicating later, how we'll make sure those students receive access to not just their learning materials, but also digital iPads or laptops, whatever we're going to be issuing to the students. But we'll make sure that they are accommodated, because that was one of the questions. In addition to the food, we do have students both on the east and the west side that are bused that have not to their respective schools. And so I'll let you address that, Dr. Fritz, but I just wanted the parents to know we are aware, and they will be rolling out a plan to make sure we accommodate those children and their families.
Absolutely. We are going to a board meeting today and talk about plans for distribution of the remaining iPads next week at those areas that need it most.
Thank you. Mr. Dorn, anything you would like to chime in?
Nothing for me. Good meeting.
Any colleagues, any other comments?
Yes, Madam Chair, yes. May I?
My Vice Chairman, can we let Ruben go first and then I'll come back to you?
Certainly. Thank you.
Last comments here?
Are we on? Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. No. I thought you wanted to say something because what I want to do is we have a call in queue that I went and allowed the superintendent to do his. So do we want to take that call and then we can move to last comments? We can move to our final comments. If nothing else for Dr. Fritz as it relates to his presentation.
I have nothing else.
Okay. Mr. Persis?
In regard to the presentation, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, in regard to the presentation, I just had one other question. I noticed the News Journal reported that there was a school employee in Flagler County that had the coronavirus. Are you aware of any of our employees, Superintendent Fritz, that virus?
Sir, I'm actually not even allowed to go there because that's a issue.
I was surprised it was in the news. It was in the news story. Yeah. They didn't mention the person's name. They just said.
Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you. As employees have called and mentioned that they may have symptoms of fever, the advice we've given is self-isolation. And we have had a few employees call at various capacities and all across, and we have advised them to self-isolate for 14 days.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ms. Cook?
I just thank our unions who have worked hand in hand with our school district and our school district personnel who have worked with them. They've been under the gun to make sure that our employees are well taken care of and that the right thing is done for everyone. There's still a lot of questions and still wants and desires still remaining. But I just want to say thank you to the work that's being done. And I appreciate negotiation because it is at the basis of our democracy. And if anyone is at the forefront, the school systems are. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything you want to add to Dr. Fritz, Ms. Haynes' presentation?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Can we bring in, we have two. One is Ms. Elizabeth Albert. And the other one is Ms. Jennifer Dill. Can you please bring in Ms. Albert? Okay. How about Ms. Jennifer Dill? We spoke with Ms. Jessup.
So Ms. Gill said she sent me a message saying she was having difficulty getting on, or she was getting through a busy signal. Can you repeat the number that she's able to?
Sure. The number is area code 386. 734-7190, district's main line. And the extension is 20236. So extension 20236. So are we saying Ms. Jessup is back on the phone? Is Ms. Dill calling back in, Mr. Cologne?
And Elizabeth is saying that the district number is not working correctly, and Ms. Gill says she's in the queue. Is that the number we see on the screen? 6687.
Q. Good afternoon, Mrs.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Ms. Dill. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good afternoon. This is thank you for calling in, and you have 3 minutes to present, and 3 minutes is starting.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Gill, and I'm calling or participating. I was wondering, is the district going to send out like a list of expectations? Earlier in the meeting, it was stated that there was an understanding that teachers were going to communicate daily or how many ever times a week. But from where I'm sitting, I've done all the virtual trainings. I've read everything that Ms. Schultz has sent out, my principal has sent out. Through online, but I have seen nothing that listed like what our expectations are, and I know for a lot of parents and teachers, because they don't know what are my minimum expectations. Can I do this instead? Can I do Zoom instead of this? Or can I do this? Can I do videos? Do I have to follow, you know, explicitly just this? And they can I veer off? Can I add? Then it's like they wanted to know, like, right or wrong, can I have expectations?
Okay. Thank you. And what I'll do, I'm going to allow Dr. Fritz or Dr. Carmen to respond to that and maybe work on communication. But we have what you said to us, and we'll take it from here. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We have in the lobby, is it Ms. Albert in the lobby now? Thank you. Ms. Albert?
Yes.
Hello?
Good afternoon. Hi.
Hi, is this Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, this is Ida. Thank you for calling. You're up and you have 3 minutes.
Okay, well, thank you. Good afternoon. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you in this different way to concerns and issues that bring before you. So again, it seems as if the theme for this afternoon has been communication, that has absolutely been a time where everyone is working diligently and frantically to try to meet the needs that are invisible really right now. There are a lot of hardworking people in county schools who are burning the candles at both ends to put the pieces of this puzzle together so that we can continue learning for kids. We want to engage our kids the best way that we can, and there are many, many folks who are working tirelessly to get that done. But my purpose in addressing you this afternoon is to just continue what I've been saying to you for many weeks now, is that our communication must be the priority. We must have clear, specific, well-defined communication so that folks are not left wondering what the next steps will be. The young lady who just spoke before me asked about expectations. We are working to provide clarification around expectations. We are working very hard to get that done. but these things take time. And so my request would be that maybe for some things we to slow the process down so that we can do do very good and thorough work without rushing for getting something. Again, I cannot say how hard working the folks of Volusia County are and how they are thinking, trying to think of everything that they can, but no one person can cover everything. So I'm hoping that as we move forward, our communication becomes more refined and more precise. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Albert. And that has been duly noted. And so thank you for all of your hard work. I know you too have not had a spring break. So thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. No problem. Thanks.
And our last call for today will be Ms. Mary Kaminsky.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Ms. Kaminsky, we can hear you. This
okay,
is Ida Wright.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Mary Kaminsky, New Smyrna Beach. Thank you for taking my call. I have some concerns as the mother of a couple of employees, the grandmother of a. My concern has to do with the fact that only 370 people in Volusia County have been tested, so we have no way to know the contagion or who's carrying this, that kind of thing. So I wanted to ask, how are you disinfecting the paper products with tells us the virus can live on paper for several hours? How are you disinfecting the plastic bags that the food's being, and would it be possible to shift from a daily distribution of food for students to the kind of distribution you have on Fridays where there is less possibility of vectoring the virus by doing less days of distribution? So that's my concern. And you can mute me now, please. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good observation. And I'll let you answer that if you, Dr. Fritz.
Well, we actually did talk about doing, less travels out to the community and to food sites and trying to do more meals in one shot so that we could give families, for example, 5 to 6 meals at a time as opposed to one meal. Part of our challenge is having the ability to get that much food into one location. Greg and I will continue to look at that, certainly. With the iPads, when we handed those out, Ms. Haynes actually made a brilliant suggestion and we implemented it. We had a drop box at the end of all of our drive-throughs when they were dead, so our workers didn't have to even touch the papers that the parents were filling, and they were placed into the drop box. And based on the research that we did, that even at surface level, that after a period of time, I'm sure of the time, maybe Greg can tell us, but they certainly longer carries the virus whatsoever.
What about the paper packets? My daughter-in-law teaches, and there will be paper packets going back and forth between student and teacher, and she is immunocompromised with asthma. I'm just wondering, how are those kinds of things being disinfected?
Those are actually the things that we're considering how do we do the collection of that. It may be something once we find out how long it takes for something to be sterile, that those paper packets sit a while before that they are reviewed by teachers. But those are the answers.
So are you operating on the guidelines for now as far as transmission, with plastic being several days, paper being several hours?
Yes, the CDC is what we're referring to.
Okay.
Again, some of those procedural things as we go forward, we're going to have to have answers to, and we're going to have to continue. And thank you for bringing it forward, because those are the kind of questions that we need to build this plane as we're flying it.
Thank you, Ms. Kaminsky. So that concludes all of our public participation that we had in our And I do want to address one thing that Ms. Kaminsky asked about feeding on one day a week or reducing. I think we have to hear from our parents and our drivers. That may not be best for our communities. And so I don't want us to make that decision. We put our task force, allow them to bring us some feedback. It may be easier to do 2 or 3 days a week versus 5, but allow them to bring those recommendations back to us because they're going to hear from us as well. Moving on. So for closing comments, I'll start with you, Mr. Persis.
Thank you so much, Chairman Wright. And these are definitely challenging to all of us. And my heart goes out to all the parents about just trying to figure out what to do with the child care situation. It is indeed a very, very difficult problem for so many of our parents out there as they struggle with work and child care. I just have to say I didn't want this meeting to end, and I have just a very heavy heart because, as we all know, one of our great employees passed away last night. I'm talking about Matt Krajewski. Matt was the principal at New Smyrna Beach High School, but I knew Matt, first met Matt in 1984. I was principal at Hill Elementary School, and Matt was a physical education teacher at Coronado Beach Elementary School. We became friends because we were both down there in the southeast, both at small schools, and we used to share a lot of special area teacher personnel. So I had Matt at my school from time to time. Matt was just a great guy. I became an assistant principal, became an elementary principal, a middle school principal, and a high school principal. I had his daughter, his wonderful daughter, Nikki, as a student of mine when I was principal at Ormond Beach Middle School. So I just want to extend my deepest sympathies to her wonderful mother, Kathy, to Matt's loving and caring wife, Tracy. I just want them to know how much Susan, my wife, who was also a principal, and as we talked last night about during principal, monthly principal meetings, Susan and Matt used to lunch together every month with some of our colleagues that are still here, and I'm thinking of Patty Corr as one. I know Mr. Cash as another one, John Cash. Matt just had so many friends. There isn't anyone an unkind word about Matt. He was just quite a guy, and he just made our Volusia County School District a better place for students, a better place for all those that work with him. I just miss him so much, and I just wanted to say how grateful I am, and I know Superintendent Fritz, I know you didn't get to know him long, but I'm sure he made a great impression on you as well. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Persis, and I think all of us would agree we do have a heavy heart at this moment. I'm going to go now to Ms. Haynes, and then I will come back to Mr. Colon.
Thank you, Mrs. Wright. I, too, want to say it was heartbreaking to hear about Matt, and my prayers are with not only his family, but also with all of the people's lives that he touched at this time. I do want to give a shout out to a lot of our schools. I have been hearing from parents that they're receiving phone calls from teachers and from guidance counselors who are checking in on them and making sure they're okay. And so I want to say to our staff, to me, there's two things right now that I feel we need to focus on as a district. Number one is making sure that our students have food, because as we know, they cannot learn hungry. Number two is making sure that they feel safe and that they have some kind of contact with those people that have spent the year getting to know them, acting as surrogate parents, which is what a lot of teachers and staff do, and just that we reach out to them and we make this okay, because this is something that they've never experienced, just as we've never experienced, and they need that human contact through your voice, if they can see you through Microsoft Teams or in a video. So I want to thank everyone out there, because we started on something that none of us have ever done before, but I appreciate every one of you and what you're doing. And I'm telling you, Schoolway Cafe workers, you are brightening so many children's lives every day, and they are sharing on social media pictures and saying thank you. So Mrs. Wright, that's all I have for today, but I wish everyone well, and if they need us, they can reach out. We're here for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Haynes. Mr. Cologne?
And so I'll echo the sentiments that Ms. Haynes just gave. I just want to thank everybody, our district staff, Way Cafe, our teachers, our parents, everybody who has gone outside the zone to make this happen. And is it perfect? Absolutely not. But it's a time where we all have to work together and maybe do something we're just not used to doing. And I can tell you, as you all know, I work in healthcare, and our world right now is extremely rocked. And it's requiring all hands on deck. And so I just want to thank everybody who has gone above and beyond. A lot of folks had no spring break. A lot of folks had no spring break, worried about what was coming. We know that. We see that, and we value you. We value everything that you've done, the extra steps, all the teachers that I saw on Facebook, even during spring break, wondering how they were going to pull this off and what tools they could use. But, you know, what we have right now is the strength of each other. And I'd like to encourage anyone who doesn't understand where their role is in this process to reach out to your leaders, you know, reach out and find out where you could help if you find yourself wanting to do more. And because it requires everybody to be a leader here, you know, we're each in different sides of the county right now, and we're not able to work together, which requires everybody to be a leader. As the leader in me school says over at shout out to Sunrise. As far as the food sites, Greg, I looked at the, and we can take this offline. I looked at the sites. I'll have you know, Deltona Parks are closed. And so I think we definitely need to have information about where these feeding sites are going to be, specifically for my city. We can go offline on that. And other than that, again, thank you to everybody for what you're doing. And if there's anything I can do to help, please never hesitate to reach out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cologne. Vice Chairman, Ms. Cuthbert?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. We are in uncharted waters, but I also look at it as a new way we can look at things outside the box and improve what we've already done. How can we better communicate? If there isn't a better time for peer mentors, now's the time. Not just for our students. Our students are at home isolated, but so are our teachers, so are our staff, so is our clerical, especially the 10 and 11 month people who are not working right now, just the essential personnel on our campuses, we need to reach out. I hope our administrative staff divide up their faculty and check on their staff as well. Everybody needs to talk to a human being. That's why we have kids go to school. And when all of a sudden we no longer have that socialization, and as many times as our culture now is turning towards a screen, we still want human contact and we still want human voice. So I hope there's some organization at the campus level as well to reach out to those who work on those campuses. It's always nice to know that there's a buddy system set up. I think that would be marvelous. Did travel to New Smyrna Beach High School this morning. I was very happy. Dr. Barrio was there as a support system for the administration. Tim Merrick is the interim principal and is doing a fantastic job. It was somewhat subdued. Everyone was just in shock. Right now, we have lowered the school flag. It's at half mast. And also, we have a message on the marquee for the community that he will forever be in our hearts. And also, the administration is going over to see Mrs. Krajewski this weekend and bringing greetings as well as any things that belong to him, as well as anything that was dropped off at our school campus today. They were thinking of ways to celebrate Principal Krajewski because he was so well known in the Northeast at Orman Middle, at Coronado Elementary, at Deltona Middle, at George Marks. And the last 2 years, he said, were a dream come true to be at such a fantastic community at New Smyrna Beach High School. I did contact our city commission to make sure they were aware that Matt had passed to a new adventure, and they're trying to find some way to also honor him. But the administration, I think, would like to look into talking to people who have stories to tell, especially what Mr. Persis was saying. I did contact Mr. Egner yesterday to tell him what had happened, and he told me a really cute story that they always played tennis together, and a lot of times he beat him unbelievably. And also that when he was a beginning teacher at Spruce Creek High School, Matt did his internship there, and that at New Smyrna High School, it's wonderful when you live here in this community, we always wind up with each other some way or another. Like when I first applied to teach in Volusia County in 1986, the very first authoritative person I met was Carl Persis today. But it's marvelous the way we are able to come back together. But Tim had a wonderful memory of his. And also our band director at New Smyrna Beach High School is Mr. Skatia. And the two of them played in the band at Spruce Creek High School because Matt did graduate from Spruce Creek High School. He's truly a Volusia. And it's wonderful that the kids loved him so much. A couple of words I always heard from them recently is he's the coolest guy. And truly he was. If anything was so true about Mr. Krajewski, it was that he truly was the coolest of guys. So thank you all for those who have pleasant memories. Please, I think New Smyrna High is setting up some kind of system which they can collect either stories or quotes or video. But please, because I think we'd like to share that, because that is a life well lived. And if anybody who was dedicated to our students, to our staff, it was Matt Krajewski. And definitely he was one of the good ones. We hate to see him not be with us anymore. So thank you, Madam Chair. I wish everyone well. talk to a human person in these days ahead. And as we travel towards so much of the unknown, let us all have oars that work in the water. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Doran? Mr. Doran, anything you would like to share? Hello? Okay, Superintendent Fritz.
Yeah, my final comment is we certainly have come to the agreement that we are going into uncharted territory. But I always go back to leadership at this point, and character is really defined during times of crisis. So ask that all 7,500 employees, we work really hard together, and we put the kids out as part of the questions that we answer. Because when we take kids out of the question, we're not asking the right questions. So let's do this for the kids. Let's make sure that that we don't have a spring slide. You know, we always worried about the summer slide with kids when they go off in the summer and they tend to stop learning and they come back to us. And we've got to make sure that we are working for them so that they have the highest quality education that we can provide them starting Monday and continuing on as long as it takes for us to get back to our normalcy. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Fritz. And in my closing comments, I want you to think of three P's. Remember our purpose, the first P. Purpose equals student success. Remember that we have to prepare. And prepare equals great planning. And unfortunately, we couldn't plan for this. So perfect planning will not happen, but planning will take place. And the last thing, patience. We have to have patience with one another. We have to have patience with everyone involved, which may cause us to slow down a little bit. Again, my favorite thing, I'm telling you, take a deep breath, exhale, and just enjoy the moment. Life is short. None of us are guaranteed any amount of days on this earth. So even with COVID-19, let's be creative, let's have some fun, but most of all, let's be patient. We shall get through this. This too shall pass. Thank everyone for listening and joining us. And this concludes our meeting for Friday, March 27th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day, everybody.